Well, praise the Lord. It is wonderful to walk with the King. Amen. We are very privileged indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, let's pray as we begin here tonight and turn everything over to Him and ask Him to have His way. Let's turn to Him right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You, God, oh Lord, for this great and wonderful privilege. We thank You that we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in You, Jesus. Oh, God, that there's nothing too hard for You, Lord. And, oh, God, we just pray that You'd move in our lives here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that You would call, Lord, tonight. I pray, oh, God, that Your voice would be heard, Lord. And, oh, God, that You'd help us all, Lord, to realize our time here on this earth is short, Lord. And, oh, God, help us to see clearly. Help us to see what You'd have us to do. Oh, God, help us to have a vision of the things that are before us. And, oh, God, to know what to anticipate and how to think, oh, God. Oh, Lord, we need You, Jesus. We ask, O Lord, that You'd use this word, Lord, that You'd talk to each and every heart. I pray that You'd meet the needs of Your people, Lord. Oh, God, You know exactly what individuals are going through, Lord. But You are the one that can move mountains, Lord, and there is nothing too hard for You, Lord. We thank You, God. We ask You to work here tonight, O Lord, that Satan be bound in all his thinking, all his cunning, all his devices. O God, let Your word have free course, Lord. Talk to us. Tug at our hearts. Help us, Lord. O God, I pray, O God, that Your spirit would flow, Lord. O God, that You give us that living water that we so desperately need. O God, we come to You and we ask these things in Jesus' precious, mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are going to be going to Luke, the 20th chapter here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is good. And we're going to call this message, This is the Stone. This is the Stone. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad our Lord went before us. Declared the ways that are true and good. And oh, I thank God that He has given us ears to hear. And oh, yes, an ability, yes, to discern what He is telling us. It's a wonderful thing. And praise the Lord. We're just going to just see, oh my, what He would show us here tonight. But as we go here into this 20th chapter of the book of Luke. We're just seeing here, it's the setting is a temple, and He's preaching the gospel, and oh my, what all happens. Praise the Lord. The wonder of it all. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 1 here, chapter 20, book of Luke. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple, and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders, and spake unto Him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? You know, we are so blessed. We know our Savior is the Lord of our lives, is King of Kings, and the Almighty One. But here it was, here He was on earth, God robed in flesh, come down from heaven, and here He is teaching the people in the temple, and we know that when He spoke, it was with authority, and it was with anointing, and it was in a way that none had ever spoken before, had ever spoken before. But yet, here we have the people in high places. Oh, yes, the chief priests and the scribes coming to Him with the elders, just about all of them. Seems like here, you know, the big shots of the religious world all coming to Him to interrogate Him. And, you know, the question is, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Oh my, it just, you know, such a thought to think of here, because here he is, you know, as I have already said, God robed in flesh. And there he's speaking forth, and here they come. You know, they're treating him in such a way like, you know, he's could be anybody. As to them, I guess he was, you know, the son of Joseph, and at least that's what they prefer to think, it seems. But, you know, they want to know by what authority he does those miracles, those wonders, those casting out of devils. Oh, or by what authority he's preaching the wonderful gospel, the words of life. The words of life, and they don't know it. They don't get it. Oh, they're just, you know, just so earthly in their thinking that it's unbelievable. But I always love how Jesus had the perfect response. And we know at that time that, you know, in order to avoid answering their question directly, that you could ask them a question. If they did not answer your question, then you were off the hook as far as, you know, making the reply with what they asked. And of course, you know, if he would have told them, you know, I'm Jehovah, I'm God manifested in the flesh, and, you know, all of that, you know, they wouldn't have gone anywhere anyway. You know, they would have just said he's blaspheming. So anyway, he asked them in verse 3, and he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of man? Now, he had asked them a question they didn't want to answer. And it tells us the reasoning, the reckoning in their heart. It says in verse 5, and they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye not him? But, and if we say of man, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. So this is how they answered. Verse 7 says, and they answered that they could not tell whence it was. So Jesus said unto them, verse 8, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But praise the Lord, he began to speak a parable. And, oh yes, there were many that were standing there, and I believe these religious high-ups were standing there still as he began to tell this parable. This is what he said. Verse 9 tells us, then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. Verse 12 says, and again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son, in whom it may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Let's just reflect upon this here a minute. Oh, this story. And you know, Jesus said a lot with a few words. You know, right away there in verse 9, he's telling us, you know, the story that a man planted a vineyard, and, you know, he wasn't going to be able to linger and watch over it. So He put it forth. He led it forth to husbandmen. He put people in charge. He put servants in charge to take care of that vineyard for him while he went into a far country, and it says for a long time. And I know that he's cluing us in, right? You know, with this verse, you know, he's talking about himself, of course, and you know, the mission that he was accomplishing at that moment was short-lived, and you know, it was going to be that time when, you know, he would go away, but he would leave the job, the responsibility to husbandmen, to servants, to people, you know, that he would select while he went away into a far country for a long season. And we know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, descended into heaven. But, oh yes, after he descended and they were looking, gazing up into heaven, those two men in white apparel came back to tell those that were watching this great event. There in Acts, the first chapter, verse 11, oh, they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, he left. But, oh, yes, there was a promise that, oh, yes, just as he was taken up from them into heaven, there would be that moment, that time, when he would yet return, that he would come back in like manner. Praise the Lord. And yes, as we still await that wondrous day, we know that this promise is still as true as it ever was, that that same Jesus, which was taken up from them into heaven, shall so come in like manner as they watched him go into heaven, as they had seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, he had commissioned those that were with him to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he told them, Mark the 16th chapter, that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. Oh, yes. You shall take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. So the people of the Lord have been commissioned to do the work that he began, to finish that which he started. And he said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. Praise the Lord. And, you know, he gave us a power from on high. He sent back the Holy Ghost, as he did on the day of Pentecost, so that we could be endued with that Spirit from on high, so we could have that enablement, so that he could come and dwell in his people. And, oh, yes, be with us so that we can do the works that he has assigned us to do. Praise the Lord, so that we can be his husbandmen. Oh, yes, but we don't want to be like these husbandmen in this story here in Luke, the 20th chapter. Oh, by no means. Oh, these men were mean. And, of course, Jesus is you know, he's kind of going back, you know. Oh, there had been prophets that had been sent to declare the ways of God. Oh, there were priests that also were faithful and had declared it. The word of God, the scripture, oh yes, of the Old Testament, all declared it. But how were God's people treated? I dare say they weren't very well received. When we look back into the time of the prophets, we realize that they were persecuted terribly. Oh, yes, they were mistreated and despised and hated, and many of them gave their lives. And so it was those that had been sent, and they had a mission also for their time, for their period. They were declaring very often the need to repent. And yes, they all declared that there would be that day when the Savior would come. One way or the other, they declared it. But the people who should have known that these were representatives of God, that they were ambassadors of the kingdom of God, mistreated them despitefully. Just as these husbandmen in this parable mistreated the servants that were sent to gather the fruit of the vineyard. And yes, in this parable, yes, the first one, oh, was sent, and the husbandmen beat him and sent him away. Oh, yes, the Lord of that vineyard sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully, it says, sent him away empty. He came to gather fruit, to gather what was his, what was his master's, in other words. And you know, they wouldn't work with him. They despised him, treated him shamefully, sent him away empty. And he sent a third, and they wounded him, cast him out. And then finally, it comes down to the point, what shall I do? He'd sent individual after individual, servant after servant, and all of them had been cast out and sent away, treated despitefully, and you know, all of that. So it seemed the only thing that could be done was to send his beloved son. And it may be that they will reverence him when they see him. Oh my. We know God in his great mercy, oh, the wonderful plan of salvation. Oh yes, seeing that there was more that was needed. Oh yes, to bring us out of our sinful condition. Oh, to bring us salvation. God himself put on flesh to come to this world as the Son of God. Praise the Lord. But was he received? Did they know? Did they gladly hear him? Oh yes, some of the poor did. Yes, there were a few that had ears to hear and eyes to see. But here we have in this story here in the 20th chapter of Luke, we have the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, those that were in charge, who should have known, who should have gladly received him and embraced him and, you know, took his word and put it in their hearts. Instead, what did they do? They rejected him, didn't they? They rejected the Lord Jesus. And yes, came that day when, oh yes, he stood before Pilate's judgment hall, and Pilate could see no wrong in him. Pilate could see no shame. He could see no reason to crucify him. But his own people, the Jewish people, said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. Pilate washed his hands clean of the thing that he then did do. But what a shame, because Jesus was a Savior, and he came to this world with a mission to seek and to save those that were lost. He came to find us, we who were scattered, we who were lost, we who were sheep without a shepherd, we who didn't know the truth at all. We had, you know, just no concept of it until Jesus came. But those that should have received him, those that should have known him, despised him and rejected him and scorned him and mocked him and put him to death on the cross of Calvary. Oh my. So, yes, as Jesus is telling this story. And yes, he said, I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. He was bringing forth his best. Oh yes, he who owned that vineyard, he was sending the very best that he could. But it tells us in verse 14, but when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. And so the question is asked. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? And of course, we know that judgment may seem like it waits. But that day of reconciliation, oh yes, to a world that has rejected the Lord, is soon going to come to pass. It tells us in verse 16, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Oh, they were proud of their heritage, of their background. Oh, yes, they were children of Abraham. They assumed and all. And they couldn't imagine that what was theirs, they thought, would be given to another. But indeed, this is all which really happened. And of course, the time of God's vengeance will come forth. Oh yes, that day when God brings forth his vengeance to destroy those wicked husbandmen who have scorned and rejected, despised and killed him. Oh my, in spite of the pride in their hearts and the assumption that they were children of Abraham. Oh yes, that day of reckoning is coming forth. But here, as Jesus is ending this parable, he said in verse 17, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Oh my, they didn't want to realize, they didn't want to acknowledge the fact that Jesus would become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Oh yes, the stone that they were rejecting was indeed going to become the head of the corner. In spite of their rejection, their denials, their lack of interest in serving the Lord, and you know, their ruthless questioning. Oh, that day was coming, yes. Oh, it would be clear that stone which the builders rejected indeed had become the head of the corner. Or the chief cornerstone. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so mighty. Oh, I know we don't want to stand in the way of our God. We do best to give heed. Oh, yes, it is wise to give heed and to turn our hearts and our attention over to God and to get right with him while we can. Because, yes, one day it's going to be too late. Let's turn to Psalms 118 here. Praise the Lord. He's quoting from this psalm. You find it in other places too. But let's look at this psalm. Let's look at verse 19 here to begin. Psalms 118. Oh, this is so beautiful. It says in verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that wonderful day when the Lord became our salvation. Oh, my, as it tells us in Isaiah, the 12th chapter, that day. Oh, that it was prophesied back here in the time of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Oh, this beautiful portion of scripture when it says in verse 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Praise the Lord. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful day when the Savior would come. Oh, yes, into this world. Oh, yes. Oh, my, he would declare the gospel, the glorious news, and bring forth, oh, yes, with a mighty hand, the gift of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, so many people rejected it. But praise the Lord unto those that saw and understood and received him. Oh, yes, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And praise the Lord, if we have received the Lord Jesus, if we received of his Spirit, we could declare this. These verses here that are recorded here in Isaiah chapter 12. Oh, behold, God is my salvation. Oh, the name Jesus means Savior. Praise the Lord. And Joshua, or Savior. Behold, God is my Savior, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful day when God Almighty, robed in flesh, came into this world to bring forth salvation. The Lord Jehovah becoming our strength and song. And praise the Lord, just as he told the woman at the well. Oh, yes, declares here in verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Oh, yes, he was telling that woman at the well that, oh, yes, she could, oh, there would be the day when she could draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, a water that would cause her to not thirst any longer. It would be such a satisfying water, and it would be so deep that you could keep drawing and drawing and drawing. There would always be more. There would always be an ample supply. It would always be sufficient. Oh, yes, enough to fill our souls, to satisfy the longing that's deep within us. Oh, yes, for God made us with a longing. Oh, yes, we all know innately that, oh, yes, there's someone that we need to serve. There's someone we need to give a heart to. But praise the Lord, Jesus came into the scene, into the picture. Oh, yes, to bring forth that water. Oh, that we could drink of, oh, from that well of salvation that would never draw dry, or it would never go dry. Praise the Lord. And he said, the prophet declared in verse 4, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." And praise the Lord, oh yes, if we've known the Lord, if we tasted of that living water, oh yes, then, oh yes, we've got something to rejoice in. We've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh yes, we've got a reason to call upon his name and declare his doings among the people. Oh yes, to make mention that his name is exalted. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that song, that new song, a praise that he puts within our being, that song, a praise unto our God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because he's picked us up out of that terrible pit, out of that miry clay. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Psalms 40. And he set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, and established our goings. Oh, yes. Oh, he put that song within us that many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Oh, he puts that song of praise deep within our being. Oh, yes, a song. Oh, that is so great and oh, so wonderful. Oh, beyond even what the angels know. Oh, yes, because he has redeemed us. He has set us free. Oh, yes, he has baptized us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord. He comes to dwell in the midst of his people. Oh, the Lord is here tonight. He is here to meet our needs. He's here, oh, yes, to talk to our souls. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And to give us of that living water. And praise the Lord, we have a reason to cry out. We have a reason to shout if we are a child of Zion. Oh, a child of the living God. Oh, yes. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in thy midst. Oh, yes, he encampeth around his people, those that fear him. Oh, he dwells with his people and he put his spirit within us. So, yes, he lives within our beings. He lives within our hearts. Praise the Lord. And here in Psalms 118, oh, yes, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. Oh, a gate is an opening, isn't it? Oh, you might have an estate, and you know, you don't want just anybody to enter into it, do you? You want to keep it safe, and so you probably have a big wall around your property, and then there's a gate. And if you have a key, maybe you can enter in. Well, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, Jesus came to this world to open up the gates of righteousness. Oh, yes, to unlock that which had been locked and reserved for that specific time when the Messiah would come, when the Son of Man would come to this world. And praise the Lord, he has opened up the gates. Oh, so the righteous nation, oh, yes, could come in. Oh, yes, the people of the Lord could come in and be recipients of our wonderful salvation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that we could sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, we could, oh, yes, live with our Lord. And, oh, yes, have him in our very midst. So, yes, oh, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Praise the Lord, he opened up that door of salvation so that we could enter in, so his sheep could enter in. Praise the Lord. Verse 21 says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there was a time when God was angry. But all that anger has been turned away, and now he comforts us. Praise the Lord, he sends forth his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Praise the Lord, to comfort us and to abide in us, to abide with us. Praise the Lord. Goes on to tell us in verse 22 here, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Oh, how they rejected and refused him. But praise the Lord, in spite of that, oh, yes, that stone, Jesus Christ, oh, that lively stone, oh, yes, it became the head of the corner. And praise the Lord, we become lively stones and are filled with the Holy Ghost and walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, that's what Jesus was all about. Oh, those religious leaders, those scribes, oh, those Pharisees, oh, those rulers of Israel didn't see and understand. And here in that 20th chapter, they were interrogating Jesus. But oh my, regardless of their rejection, regardless of their refusal, in spite of all of that, that stone which was rejected became the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we look just for a moment here at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13, we see that Jesus is asking another question here. He's asking this of his disciples. Tells us in verse 13, Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, what are the opinions out there? And this is how they answered, verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? See, most of the people didn't get it. They, you know, some could tell that, you know, he spoke with authority and there was something outstanding about him. And many considered that he was a prophet. But now he's asking his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And this is what Simon Peter answered, his response. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, in other words, the word Christ means anointed one. Oh, he knew who Jesus was. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that very important question. And yes, that question is asked yet today. Whom say ye that I am? What do you think of Jesus? Who do you consider him to be? Everyone is going to have to answer that question. Yes, one way or the other. What do you think of Jesus? Who do you say that he is? The gospel is built on this premise. It is built on this rock. Oh, yes, that rock being the answer that Simon Peter gave. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the premise. That is, oh, the foundation of the gospel. Oh, that knowledge, that sense that Jesus was just not another man. He was not just another prophet. No, he was the Christ. Oh, yes, he was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. He was he that had been prophesied time and time again throughout the Old Testament. He was the Son of the living God. Oh, the flesh of the living God who had come to this world to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord. And Simon Peter understood it. Jesus told him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, yes, it comes by revelation, and how wonderful it is when the blinders go off and we can see and understand and acknowledge who Jesus is. Praise the Lord that we can see for ourselves and know in our heart that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord, that's the foundation of the gospel. Praise the Lord, that's, oh yes, what the gospel is built upon. Yes, and as He told Peter, upon this rock, this premise, this foundation, I will build my church. No, He wasn't going to build it on Peter. No, that's what He's saying. No, it's that revelation that Peter had. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love how He declared, oh, upon this rock I will build my church. It was going to be established. The church of the living God was going to be founded on that knowledge, that understanding. Oh, except that you believe that I am He, Jesus said. The book of John, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, it's absolutely essential that we see and understand that Jesus is and was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was He that was sent forth to bring salvation into this world. Oh, yes, to redeem us, fallen man. Oh, yes, from the damnation, from the condemnation that would have been ours had He not come to this world. And praise the Lord, He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ came to establish a church that no institution, no man, oh, no pestilence, no anything could bring down, not even the gates of hell. Nothing could prevail against the church of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Luke 20 again. I have to finish a point here. Verse 17, as we said, He was finishing that parable that He began there in that chapter. Verse 17 again, and He beheld them and said, what is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Praise the Lord, in spite of their rejection, Jesus Christ is still the head of the corner. But verse 18 tells us, we need to give this thought, we need to consider this carefully. It says in verse 18, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Oh my, what is He saying here? He's telling us that yes, when we come to the Lord, it's going to break down our pride. Oh, that sinful nature and all the things that we might have regarded our old way of life, it's going to be broken when we come to the Lord Jesus. Indeed, it tells us in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Oh, yes, that's the man, that's the woman, that's the girl, that's the boy that God will not despise. One who comes to the Lord and allows oneself to be broken on the foundation, on the chief cornerstone, the truth of God's word, of the acknowledgement of it. Oh yes, it means we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to turn our lives over to the living God. We're going to have to acknowledge our sin and get right with God. We're going to have to confess that we're sinners. But praise the Lord! Oh, that way, that brokenness leads to eternal life. That's the individual that God will hear. That's the individual that God will save. Amen. Oh, that's the individual that finds eternal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 66. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, 66. If I can get there. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. Oh, that's the individual that God can regard and can look to. One that is poor, that has a humble heart, that is willing to be broken upon the truth of God's word. And a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit is one that has remorse. Oh, a heart that shows repentance, that's sorrowful for the deeds of the past, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we all need a Savior. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And all our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Word of God tells us. So it is he that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at the word of God. Oh, yes, that word of God that shakes us up and helps us to see ourselves for what we are. Oh, yes, that blinders come off so we can see. Oh, yes, the earplugs out of our ears so we can hear. And oh, yes, everything that tripped us up and confused us. Oh, my, all at once, the stumbling stone is taken away so that we can see. Oh, so that we could fall upon that stone and be broken. Oh, to have that contrite heart before Almighty God, that repentant heart. But on the other hand, we don't want that stone to fall on us. It says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Oh, that's complete. Complete consuming. So there is nothing left. And indeed, when we stand before God, we know that it's either that we're going to be judged as a faithful servant, having done well, or as a slothful servant, as, you know, as a goat on the left hand, as somebody that is rejected. And none of us want to be in that category. We all want to be, oh yes, in that place where we can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Oh, that's what we want to hear. But on the other hand, there's going to be rejection. There's going to be a grinding to powder if we don't heed the word of God. If we don't allow our person to fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, and to be broken in the sense that we come to true repentance. Peter knew full well. Oh, yes, as God gave him that revelation that we read of there in Matthew, the 16th chapter. I'm sure it all came to great understanding when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And if we turn to the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, we see how Peter declared to the people that which God had done. Oh, here in the 4th chapter, we know it's after the healing of a man that had been lame from birth that was carried to the Gate Beautiful. Peter and John had been able to heal him in the name of the Lord Jesus by the power of the living God. Praise the Lord, and he had stood on his feet. Oh, yes, his ankle bones had received strength, and he had leaped up and stood and walked and entered into them with the temple, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. But again, we have an upset religious family here, those that should have known the Sanhedrin court, those that were in charge, those that should have known the scripture and should have understood who Jesus was. And here we find this confrontation. It tells us in verse 1, chapter 4 of Acts. And as he spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of a high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And here is what they're going to put before Peter and John. Oh, yes, verse 7. But when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And here Peter said it, oh, putting it all together. Oh, praise the Lord, he said in verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Oh, in spite of the rejection, the refusal to see and understand, their anger now over what had just been done, the healing of that man who was lame from birth, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus a resurrection from the dead. Oh my, how pathetic. But Peter puts it all together here. Oh yes. This is a stone which was set at naught of ye builders, which has become the head of the corner. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to bring forth a kingdom, oh, that would have no end, a kingdom that would continue on and on and on, a kingdom that the gates of hell cannot destroy. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he's declaring it now. Oh, this stone, this rejection, this word, that foundation that you've all rejected, that you set at naught, you builders, spite of it, it has become the head of the corner, oh, the chief cornerstone, in spite of the activities of unbelieving men, oh, the devil's attempts to destroy that which Jesus came forth to do. Oh, praise the Lord, we know that this kingdom continues until this moment. And praise the Lord, oh, yes, going to continue until the end. Oh, yes, until this world has come to nothingness. Oh, yes, and the judgment seat has come forth. And men and women, boys and girls, stand before that judgment seat of Christ to hear, oh, yes, how they have done in the flesh and whether they are saved, accepted, or rejected. Oh, what a moment that will be. You know, that's what life down here is all about. It's getting ready for that day when we stand before the Lord. That's why we're here. We're here. Oh, yes. Oh, to make our entrance into the kingdom of God, to just stand before him one of these days. And, you know, our life may indeed be short, but how we live this life is going to determine how we spend eternity. Oh, we have such a need. Oh, yes. to be broken upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We have such a need to give heed to that which was declared, which, oh, indeed is the truth. Oh, that which was set at naught of you builders, as Peter was declaring here in Acts the 4th chapter. And he went on to say in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, there is no other way. Oh, Jesus said, if you try to come up another way, you are a thief. You are a robber. Oh, there is only one entrance. There is only one who can open that gate so that we can enter in to the kingdom of God. And there is only one way we can do it. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's through that acknowledgement that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not just a good man that lived. He's not just a philosopher. He wasn't just a prophet. No, he wasn't just a Jew. He wasn't any just those things. No, he was and is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And praise the Lord, there is salvation in no other. There is no other way to find God. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, Peter declared it very clearly there. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and so anointed of God. Those that were grieved that the people were being taught, ministered to, oh, that there was a living Savior. Oh, yes, a Jesus who, yes, not only gave his life a ransom for many, but, oh, yes, was resurrected from the dead. Thank the Lord. Oh, yes, he wasn't dead. No, when those women came to the tomb, oh, he was risen. And praise the Lord, he is a risen Lord. And that same Jesus, which they crucified, oh yes, whom God hath raised from the dead, that same Jesus is Lord of all, Lord of lords, and King of kings, oh yes. And we can declare it to this day, oh yes, that kingdom that Jesus came to establish, oh, that he came to declare, a kingdom that would never end. Praise the Lord. Daniel, the prophet, got a glimpse of it as he prophesied in his prophecies. And we look at Daniel, the 2nd chapter. We read of his interpretation, that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and that the other wise men and sorcerers and astrologers and magicians, soothsayers, could not explain by any means, could not even begin to know. They said it was impossible because Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember that dream. But praise the Lord, God showed it to his servant. He showed it to his prophet, Daniel. Praise the Lord. Yes, he let him know what Nebuchadnezzar had seen in that vision that he couldn't remember. Oh, praise the Lord. That second chapter of Daniel declares it. He says in verse 31 here, second chapter of Daniel, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Praise the Lord! Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Oh, praise the Lord, what a thing he saw. Oh, that fantastic looking image. Oh, that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in that vision. Oh, the head of gold and the breast, the arms of silver, the belly, the thighs of brass, the legs of iron, and then the feet, part of iron and part of clay. He saw it stand until there was a stone that came forth without hands. In other words, it wasn't, it didn't come by any means of human help at all. It was made without hands. And that stone came forth. It smote that image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and it broke that image to pieces. Oh, praise the Lord, that stone, as this is in verse 35, that smote the image, it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Oh, praise the Lord, in spite of all the enemy's attempts to destroy that which Jesus began. Oh, they were trying in that fourth chapter of the book of Acts. They were trying to destroy it. You know, they ordered Peter and John and the others not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Oh my, if we didn't have that power, if we didn't have that authority, there is no way that the kingdom could continue. But praise the Lord, God gave Peter and John and the others that understanding. Oh yes, to know that there is salvation in no other name, no other authority, oh, no other idol, no other figure, whatever all men could esteem, no other person. There is salvation in none other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, Peter and John and the others have that wonderful knowledge. Oh, that the Spirit of the Lord gave witness to. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. And they realized, oh, that stone which the builders had rejected, that stone had become the head of the corner. Praise the Lord. In spite of the devil's attempts to destroy that which came forth by the mouth of Jesus Christ, that which the prophets had declared and prophesied of, that which God had ordained, that stone, oh yes, could not be destroyed. Oh, it could not be hindered. It was going to go forth. That stone that smote the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw would indeed become a great mountain. A great mountain that would fill the whole earth. Praise the Lord, the glorious gospel would spread. Oh, it began in Jerusalem, but it spread throughout Judea. It spread unto Samaria. It spread beyond that to the land of the Gentiles. Oh, yes. And oh, yes. To all ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and that glorious gospel message, it continues at this moment. And praise the Lord, in spite of the devil's attempts to destroy it, oh, to disconnect it from even happening, oh, cause it to not flourish if he could. In spite of that attempt, that stone, oh yes, that foundation, the wonderful truth of God's word. God's word. Oh yes, that which Jesus proclaimed and declared. Oh, that stone which came forth is becoming a great mountain which will fill the whole earth. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, all these other kingdoms, all these other possibilities will come to naught. Praise the Lord. We know that this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw represented kingdoms that were forthcoming. It represented, first of all, Nebuchadnezzar as that head of gold. And yes, it declared that, you know, after his kingdom, there would come another that would be inferior. You know, the part of silver there, the shoulders and the chest that he would come after that. And then the third kingdom, a brass. And yes, the Medes and the Persians overtook the Babylonians. And then it came to the time when the Greeks took over. Oh, yes, and it, just as it all was prophesied here. And then the fourth kingdom came forth, the Roman Empire. And it was at the time of those kings that God brought forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 44 here in this second chapter of Daniel, it says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Praise the Lord, no matter what they may be trying to do at this time. Oh yes, no matter what their ambitions are and their desires and all, you know, their attempts. God has brought forth a kingdom that was established in the days of the Roman Empire. Yes, the days of Caesar Augustus, actually. Who came forth to set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. Praise the Lord. And that stone, oh yes, that was established. Oh, that kingdom that came forth would not be left to other people. It would not be taken over. There would be no one that could conquer it at all. But instead it's going to break in pieces and has broken in pieces. It will consume all those kingdoms, all those proposals, all those attempts, all those empires. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ shall stand forever. And as it tells us in the 45th verse here in Daniel, "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Oh, I love it. Oh, it's an exciting thing to think that we can be part of a kingdom that will never be diminished. Oh, it will never be broken. It will never be destroyed. There is no way that it will ever end. Praise the Lord, our Savior. Oh, the one who came to this earth and became the chief cornerstone. Our wonderful God, our Savior. Praise the Lord, his wonderful plan that we could be redeemed. Oh, yes, that we could be broken upon the rock. Oh, yes. But praise the Lord, there's salvation with that breaking. Oh, yes, if we'll just let, you know, that pride and all, you know, the past be broken upon the rock, Christ Jesus. He brings forth a new creation from that brokenness. That meek, that contrite spirit, that poor and contrite man that trembles at the word of God, that, oh, has respect unto the word of God to such an extent that, oh, yes, we fear God. Oh, and we want to keep his commandments. We want to walk in his ways. And, oh, yes, we turn our life over to the living God in true repentance. Praise the Lord, obeying his command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And oh yes, the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a wonder it is. What a gift we've been given. What an opportunity we have. And how I love that we could declare that that which was rejected, that which was despised, that which was hated, oh yes, the Son of God who came to this world. Yet, in spite of all that, he is the stone which was set at naught of those builders. Oh, praise the Lord, and in spite of their efforts, their hatred, you know, their displeasure, that stone has become the head of the corner. Praise the Lord. And how marvelous it is in our eyes. Oh, yes, to think what the Lord has wrought, what he has given us. Praise the Lord. We know there is salvation in no other name, no other person. Praise the Lord. And what a privilege it is to be able to acknowledge the living God. Oh yes, the one who came to save us from our sins. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Oh, how we need to heed the word of God. Oh, yes, and let him rule and reign in our life, to surrender our life to the living God. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so that that stone will not grind us to powder. Oh, yes, that will be counted rather worthy and acceptable in the sight of God and able to stand before the living God on that great day of accounting. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Oh, yes, he came to this world with a mission. And praise the Lord, what a privilege it is to be a part of his kingdom. Oh, yes, to be heirs. Oh, yes, to be a part of the family of God, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Praise the Lord, that's our privilege. Oh, yes, what an honor. Praise the Lord. And if you have not yet given heed to the gospel, oh, yes, I beg of you to give your heart to the Lord tonight, to surrender your will, to fall on the rock Christ Jesus. Oh, let him save you from your sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his wonderful gift of salvation. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We ask that you'd work in our hearts. Oh, God, I ask that you would reach out. Oh, God, and oh, God, cause conviction. Oh, God, cause hearts to be broken. Oh, Lord, while there is yet time. Oh, God, that we might fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, and be saved. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books and turn to number 7 and sing, "Now Unto the King Eternal, the Only Wise God." Praise God. Number 7. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.